Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Today, we're going to be so packed with Jeff and Joanna Gaines. They have a program called Fixer Upper on HGTV. It's a great program where they come in, they pick the worst looking house in a nice neighborhood, and they begin to fix it up. And it's amazing what they could do with properties in Waco, Texas. I think single-handedly, they're turning over the entire community. But first, let's hear about Chip and Joanna is their name. And let's find out about their love story and how they met. This is Chip and Joanna Gaines.
We got married
in 2003.
Married in 2003. We met in 2001. And, you know, I think it's funny because we were polar opposites.
Yeah. I'm a white person. She's a young lady of color. And so, I mean, honestly, the differences didn't stop there. I mean, you know, we had been brought up in very similar environments. Our parents were both believers, brought up in the church, I'd say is a common way to say that, middle class to some extent. But other than that, I mean, my parents were fairly liberal when it came to, you know, hey, go out on your bike and drive around in the neighborhood for hours. And her parents were like, go out in the backyard, but only as long as you have bubble tape completely around your head, neck, and vital organs. And so, obviously, when that all came together and we bought our first house together after we were dating for a few months and then we moved in together, which is biblically inappropriate, and we would not suggest that.
What?
Babe,
Chip,
tell them the story.
The story is we met in 01 and Chip liked me a whole lot.
Yeah,
right. He kind of scared me. I thought he was somewhat of a stalker. But then I realized he had a really good heart. We dated for a year and he proposed. We were married a year and a half later. No, we were married for a year.
Baby, you're awful at our love story. Listen, our love story is pretty simple. She saw me. She was completely enamored, for obvious reasons. And I came over to her and I said, listen, what is your sister doing later? And she said, oh, my sister's married. And I said, well, then, fair enough. What are you doing later? And she said, I have no plans because I haven't dated anyone in like 18 years. And I said, well, you're in for the ride of your life, young lady. Are you ready to pony up? And she said, I don't even know what that means, but let's do it. And so the next thing you know, we had four children. And now we're writing basically marriage seminars. We speak on marriage and love, love making.
Our short love story, our short story is that we met each other in 2001. We were married in 2003. And from the beginning, I think it was just a fun kind of roller coaster. I was a safe, kind of overprotected child, and Chip was this rowdy, kind of risky guy. And so if you can imagine those two worlds colliding, it was very interesting. But somehow we figured out a way to make that work and have fun with it.
Sure. And I think the one piece of advice that I'd give myself, if I could go back in time and tell myself some piece of advice that would help our marriage, to be honest, it was just the idea that when I learned how to embrace Joanna for who she is and really support her all the way, I feel like that was a real light bulb moment for me in my relationship with her. And ironically, I think that it was a back and forth, you know, as I really enveloped this concept of I'm going to support her and love her and fight for her regardless. I feel like that opened your heart to be able to reciprocate, you know?
That's the funniest couple right there. They couldn't be more opposites, but yet they're so supportive of each other. Did you know that they both know the Lord? They're both are Christians. As a matter of fact, here is their testimony on I Am Second.
The shows I was always drawn to when I was younger were the ones where you'd have this really nerdy character that kind of hid in the background. And then you have this kind of jock everyone loved, most popular guy in school. And he sees this person, this girl who looks scared and who definitely isn't trying to get any attention on herself. And he sees the potential in her, and somehow he uncovers this whole new identity for this girl. That's hard. Favorite thing about Chip. If you give Chip a boundary, he's gonna break that boundary. If you give him a rule, he's not gonna follow it. And if you tell him he can't go past this line, put his toe over it.
Joanna is like the purest, most stable person I've ever met.
I like safety. I like knowing what's coming. I don't want to be surprised. I don't know if we would have dated in college if we would have known each other.
My wife is a bit of a wallflower. You know, I joke with her pretty publicly that she was almost awkward when we first met.
And he always jokes I'm the guy in the relationship. Because when he wants to talk and dig, I don't want to talk. I just want to eat my fries.
I would have been the guy on a horseback riding off into the wilderness. I mean, that's who I sort of was by nature. And Joe could not be more opposite than that.
Fear and failure doesn't even cross his mind. He doesn't let that even go through one ear and out the other.
The little voice in your ear that talks when you're being quiet, my little voice tells me how handsome I am, tells me how funny I am, tells me how rich I'm gonna be. You know, it's just constantly talking.
You can't censor Chip.
I used to drive my truck and I would play a little game with myself to see how out of gas I could get without in fact running completely out of gas. And she was like, why would anybody want to play that?
For someone who is a rule follower to a T, it's an adventure.
I think, like, loving somebody is top roll down, James Dean and whomever, flying through the mountains, going too fast, reckless. And your idea was, no, bubble tape. Yeah, sitting around.
Wrapped up.
Eating church's chicken.
If I didn't have Chip Gaines in my life, I'd still be dreaming in my head, but not acting out on any of that, not living it out. You push me. You push me out of my comfort zone. I like comfortable. I like predictable. Mm-hmm. And you push me.
Am I any of those?
No.
Not comfortable or predictable?
You're comfortable in that you're consistent in just who you are is Chip. But you're definitely not predictable.
I think that's one of the reasons that I love her like I do. I mean, I feel like she knows me in a way that has caused me to stop acting. You know, I feel like I've really been an actor. I've been a character my whole life. I've always tried to prove something to someone. Do the microphone thing. That makes me feel more comfortable. Remember the time that I came home from that guy's trip in East Texas? Do I look fat?
Just make sure your jeans aren't too tight. You know what I mean?
Do I look comfortable?
No, your jeans were real tight right there. Just like that.
When I caught her, I finally felt content for the first time in my life. I felt like I could be exactly who I was.
Showing some skin.
I see that. That's interesting. I have learned so much about order and structure and processes through my wife. And God is all of those things to me now. But at the beginning, God was just chaotic to me. He was wild. He was untamed. He was unruly. And I liked that.
But God had a funny way of bringing me Chip to almost have this reality of what it's like to follow Christ, which is a lot of the things are going to push you to a place of discomfort. A lot of things are going to push you to a place of freaking out. It takes someone who's externally this, whatever
right,
that
processes,
is.
Processes, yeah.
Because it helps me get it out there, because it's healthier to be out there than it is just let it all kind of play in my mind. I don't want to be in the box anymore. I don't want to play it safe. Because where the impact is over here on the other side.
You were like a flower in desperate need of water. You blossomed in a way that was really fascinating to watch.
I was made for a reason, and I need to let whatever God has created me for, that needs to be known. I don't need to stay hidden. My walk with God when I was little and all the way up until like my 20s was always, if you play by the rules, you'll be blessed. But then I met Chip, and I feel like now it's when you take a step out in faith, when it makes absolutely no sense, I think that's where the greater reward is. There's no telling where that will take you. My name is Joanna Gaines, and I am second.
And I'm Chip Gaines, and I am second. That was legit.
I don't think so.
I think so.
Let's try that again.
Boom.
That's such a beautiful, beautiful couple, and their testimony is just so sincere. When we get back from the break, we're going to pick up right where we left off. But first, we have this offer for you. Check it out. We are with Chip and Joanna Gaines, the Fixer Upper Couple out of Waco,
Texas.
And they're speaking at a Texas Builders Conference, sharing their own personal story. And it's very interesting, talking about she kind of went ninja on him. And she's like, I love this woman. It's so cool to see kind of the background behind a couple like this. And they're touching so many folks in a positive way. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, let's go back and join them. This is Chip and Joanna Gaines with Fixer Upper at the Texas Conference Builders Conference in Texas. Check it out.
The more boring stuff. And Chip was really good at the vision, the big picture. And we realized that, hey, we want to go in the same direction here. But anytime we started kind of going like this, we realized that kind of would set us back. So early on, we had to really define, this is what I do, this is what Chip does, so that we could work well together. And I feel like that's something we're always having to kind of go back to anytime we just feel like we're a little off track.
And I think just to interject real quick, I mean, one of the things that we always talk about when we refer to Magnolia Homes, which is this company that she's talking about that we sort of founded together, it preceded our kiddos. So it was sort of learning how to work together. It felt a lot like a kid. A lot of y'all with small businesses can relate. I mean, the late hours and the complicated circumstances, it never seems to be the same twice, you know? And so Joe and I both learned really early on. We have four actual babies, but we always joke that we have five babies because we had this business that preceded our firstborn, and we learned how to kind of operate in that universe, you know, what it looks like. And I mean, we can all relate to that who are parents. You know, sometimes you tag team who's going to wake up the next time to feed the baby or who's on diaper duty, and some of those similar correlations really affected our relationship as a couple, because that business really felt a lot like this mutual love of ours, and we both found out what we were good at. We found out how not to step on one another's toes as we were trying to build this thing together.
And when Chip was kind of describing the ninja kicks that I was back handspringing him with, it kind of reminded me.
Very athletic young lady.
A little bit of just what we were dealing with in 2007, 2008, just with the whole economy, with things that were coming our way. What we realized as a business is we had to continue to evolve. So I'd say in 2006 and 7, we were doing a lot of flip houses. But then by 2008, you know, the banks weren't lending as much money. And so for us, we had to evolve into something else to make it, which turned into renovating homes with clients. So that was the first time we had to really step in and realize, okay, we have to hold our clients' hands. This isn't a flip project, which those are easy because you just do whatever you want. You hope you end up staying on budget, make some money, and it's just really me and him.
Sure. We always joke, you know, the difference between remodeling and flipping houses is flipping houses, you've really got a budget that your boss, you know, everybody's always got a boss. It doesn't matter if you're self-employed or not. And in the flip universe, you know, the budget and the time constraints are really your boss. So you're answering to this budget, you're answering to this schedule. In the opposite end of that, I mean, you have an actual client who becomes your boss and you're having to figure out how to juggle. I mean, it really does feel like literally you've gone from juggling one or two balls to now you're juggling a third ball. You're trying to help them understand the budget portion, which sometimes they understand that better than others. You're also trying to help them with the schedule portion. They understand that better sometimes than others, but then you're also dealing with their preferences and their emotional interests, you know, if you will. I mean, when we got into this, we used to do just whatever we want, and then we would end up flipping the property, and we were always really amazed, kind of like we feel like to some extent about this show, how it touched people, how they really were interested, how they were really impressed with the service that we had provided. Well, with the client, you know, that's a day-to-day conversation. I mean, it's sort of like your kid when you see him, you know, your grandmother sees him after 6 months and he's sprouted out, but you didn't notice it because you saw it incrementally. I mean, when you see the dust and the dirt and all the bits and pieces, you know, it's difficult for a client to see the state of that house maybe two-thirds through the project and believe you that you're going to get it across the finish line. And we had to really learn and kind of adjust the way we thought through that experience.
And once I felt like we finally started getting it, Chip decides to throw another curveball in there, which he loves to do. He found 6 acres of land.
I wanted to become a developer.
All of a sudden, Chip wants to be a developer.
2009. think back
good timing
to that. And don't think about it from y'all's perspective. I know that I'm not an idiot. I know that there are some very, very wealthy individuals in this room who, when they think of 2009 and they think about lines of credits and bankers, they thought, wow, you know, what an opportunity to go from doing $100 million in construction to just 20 or 30 million. You know, I mean, it's a good opportunity. Maybe you got to spend a little more time on the golf course. Maybe you got to spend some time, good quality time with the family at the lake. You know, this was back when Joe and I were barely making ends meet. So I literally looked myself in the mirror and I was like, I'm going to become a developer in 2009 and I'm going to show the entire world exactly, you know, who, what I'm made of.
Right.
Which was a bad, that turned
hurt
out to be a bad idea.
So we, you know, we got our heads around the idea of redoing all the electrical and plumbing in these small 800 square foot houses. But when it came to streets, curbs and gutters and sewage and all this stuff, I mean, we were in over our heads.
Electrical and plumbing on a whole new level,
total
basically.
Different level. And so for us, you know, the thing that about Chip is he's always been pretty scrappy. So even though it got really, really hard, he would just figure out a way to make it work. And so even though it was really hard, we ended up making it through that development. We learned a lot about new construction. We learned a lot about development. We learned maybe we should just stick to renovations for a little bit. But we made it through, and really the development is just a really sweet development. It's kind of one of those testaments when we look back of just, honestly, God's grace on our life at that time. So during all that, even during the development, we still were renovating homes for clients and still flipping projects here and there. That's when we get the call in 2012 from a producer from a production company that had seen one of our flips on my blog, and she'd reached out, asked if we'd want a show together, and we kind of both thought, Chip honestly thought it was a scam, and he said, don't call her back, she's gonna ask for money and you're gonna, you know. I said, I don't think it was
so
a
about
scam.
The same time, you know, you'd get these emails from these foreign countries, and they would always tell you that you had won a lottery or an inheritance for $50 million. And for some reason, because I'm an idiot, it sounded very similar to that. You know, I was like, wait a second, this is a scam. You know, we're going to get into this with this group, and next thing you know, they're going to tell us that we owe them $25,000 to get to the next phase of this process, you know. But anyway, in Joe's defense, she sniffed this one out, and it turned out to be legit.
So they come down, they film us for a little bit. Do we go into this part, or do we? How are we on time? Okay. So they film us for a 3-minute clip to show the network. And Chip at the time was really terrified of cameras. I never knew this. I thought because of how he was, he would end up caring.
And I'm so stupid. It's like when I go into things, I've got a really high self-esteem, a.k.a. slightly arrogant. And so, I mean, I thought when these folks were coming down, I was like, you will not believe. Wait till you see me. Wait till you see what I can do. And I kept telling Joe this, and I wasn't meaning it in a real sarcastic way. I was just like, babe, don't worry about it. Don't plan on anything. They'll shine the camera at me. I'll do this thing that, I'm not going to lie to you, is pretty special. Pretty special gift that I've got. I mean, you know, I remember back in high school, you know, some teacher would ask me to speak in an auditorium of about this many folks at literally Colleyville Elementary just down the road. And, I mean, you know, I would speak, and, you know, I'd have these adults and these teachers in stitches. So I just said, give me a couple minutes. Give me a couple minutes.
So that morning,
I'll get warmed up.
They come at 7 o'clock in the morning. I have 4 kids hanging on my leg because they're terrified of these strangers in our house.
They literally are all built like their mama, very bashful. So they're scared to death.
And I've got Chip there, you know, ready to shine. And so they're
going to do my thing.
Turn the camera on, and Chip doesn't say a word. So I'm looking at him like, come on,
it's
Chip,
such a big camera.
So now I'm just like, oh, shoot.
And it's got this little red beeping dot on the top of it. And there's this guy, if y'all have ever seen, it's called a boom mic. Some of these things that I've now learned in this industry, but it's a big stick with what appears to be a fairly, I mean, sort of like a record-breaking raccoon on the end of it. And every time that thing would come into my peripheral, you know, I mean, you...
He would.
And then they'd be like, okay, stop. Okay, listen, son, listen, no matter what, when the boom mic comes into the deal, it's just trying to catch your audio. We were losing you there for a second. Don't flinch, no matter what. And I was like, no way. I'm not going to flinch. There's nothing that could make me flinch. All right, Volkswagen, red light. Oh, shoot. And then the raccoon out of the corner, I would flinch again.
Flinching, so, I mean, sweating.
And I mean, for days, day after day after day, I was not beating this phobia of cameras.
So he ends up behind the camera. Now it's just the JoJo show and her 4 kids. And I'm looking at him like, I can't carry this. This isn't my deal.
Joe moving around the kitchen with the 4 babies.
And Chip is behind the camera.
I got into the tech of the TV business. I literally, Joe would be a camera operator, and he'd be working and filming Joe doing an actual scene. Hey, man, what does this button do?
Like a 5-year-old.
Can you imagine? What's this wire connected to? What is this? This
is amazing. So our fourth day into
it. How much is this? Is there any way we could buy some of these on eBay, maybe refurbish them and then sell them for a profit?
Yeah.
You interested in it? Here's my card.
Fourth day. The producer comes to us and says, hey, guys, I am not going to lie to you. We don't really have much. Is there anything either of you can do? He comes to us individually. He asks if there's something I can do to surprise Chip. And I was thinking something sentimental and sweet. He asked, don't tell him what it was. Chip, on the other hand, you never ask Chip to surprise me because, as you all have seen, he loves to do that. And when he gets permission, he goes with it. So Chip, I didn't know this, but during this time, we had just bought the farmhouse, and we were selling the house we were currently in, and so there was going to be a time about 6 months where we didn't have a place to live. Chip thought it'd be a really good idea to buy a houseboat for his family of 6 and let us live out on the lake for 6 months until our farm was done.
Right idea.
So when the producer asked him, he thought, hey, I'll expedite this process. He finds this boat on like eBay or something, buys it sight unseen, as you can only imagine.
It's bad news, Charlie Brown. Yeah, that thing showed up in Waco, Texas, and I remember we had Joe blindfolded.
I was blindfolded.
She had this little.
I thought it was going to be a picnic. I thought you were going to have this romantic picnic.
So we're at the lake. So she's kind of getting the idea. Oh, this is going to be beautiful. It's going to be this really sentimental deal. And I've literally got beep. Beep, 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 beep. Backing up a monster, huge semi-truck, huge boat. We're dropping this thing in the lake to see if it's seaworthy for the first time in like a decade from this boat's perspective. So we're backing this thing up. We're trying to figure out all this complicated stuff. Well, Joe's blindfolded, and she's got this, bless her heart, she's got this like handwritten letter and things that we'd done and properties that we'd bought
and
sold.
Cute little framed
art. Was her idea of trying to get us a reality television show. That was her surprise that was going to change everything. And ow. And so so this boat, you know, back it up. And so we undo Joe's blindfold. And I mean, Joe, because she, you know, this has been years of dealing with this and preparing for experiences like this. And so I popped the thing off. And I remember I sort of invented this very insecure noise that I didn't even realize was in me. But when I opened the deal, because I knew I was in trouble, I mean, I could tell the boat was awful. I knew she was going to be mad. So we take it off and I go, ta-da. And I literally... You know, like a beaten puppy dog. And so I'm covering up and she's, you know, freaking out. And she literally looks at this poor semi guy who she refers to as Mr. Semi Truck Operator. Put that boat back on that trailer and take it back wherever it came from. So we'll speed this up because I think we're running out of time here. But anyway, long story short, we had a ball. We literally broke out of our shells. We forgot the cameras were there for a few minutes. All the boom mics dissolved into the background. Joe and I did what honestly Joe and I do, which was we walked around this boat, which was unique to us. And that was definitely not our sweet spot, to say the least. But we started solving problems. We started getting people on the phone. I was wearing out the seller of this thing and blowing this poor guy up, and he's not here to defend himself, but he's a dirty, rotten scoundrel. And so, I mean, you guys feel free to look him up and get his side of the story. But so we're rocking and rolling. And so, I mean, literally, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. We're supposed to be here at this deal. I'd say 10:30. I take the blindfold off Joe. You can imagine 4:30 later that same afternoon on our last day. They're leaving today at this particular day at 8 o'clock that evening. And so it's 4:30 in the afternoon, and we've been rocking and rolling on this boat the whole entire day. So in our minds, we just blew our last day of filming. And so I hop off the boat and I reach up. At this point, Joe and I had sort of, you know, salvaged what was left of our marriage. And so she hops down, light as a feather. I kind of spun her around. Imagine sound of music, it's gorgeous. And so I sit her down, and I'm walking off with her kind of in the distance. And in the TV business, they call this a hero shot. You know, it's always Tom, somebody. Well, yeah, there you go. Let's go with Tom Cruise. He's always walking off. There's this big explosion in the background. And, of course, it doesn't affect him because he's awesome. So we're doing that kind of a deal. We're walking off into the sunset, and all of a sudden the TV guy goes, it kind of looks at us, and I finally become conscious of this guy who's been following us around for now hours and hours, and I put my hands up just completely discouraged, completely defeated, because I honestly realized in a real sincere way that I just cost my beautiful wife and, of course, our family this opportunity to do this television show. And so I said, well, at least hopefully you got some good television, and in kind of a real smart aleck way. And this guy takes off this kit, kind of pushes stop, red beeping light turns off, and he puts his camera down and he goes, if we do our job, you just got yourself a reality television show. So for the first time in our lives, obviously in this experience, it just sort of dawned on us that if we could get to who we were, if we could get to our true passions, that true passion meant something to someone. You know, the more we faked and the more I stood there awkwardly, you know, the more difficult it was for us to really get in the rhythm. But when we finally started doing what meant something to us, which is we own a boat now, and how are we going to tackle this project together? And Joe got out of the I hate you and I hate this boat and I hate this boat operator, or, you know, semi truck operator. She got to the place like, hey, we're in a pickle and we've got to work this thing out together. And all those things kind of became a beautiful couple of minutes worth of footage. So
as you know, now we're in.
So you're looking at, that's just a beautiful story of a couple.
Yeah,
and their whole today has been dedicated to, you know, what God can do with a marriage, what
That's
God,
right.
God can do with diverse personalities and coming together, and the Magnolia, I believe, Farms it is.
Magnolia Farms, Magnolia Market, yeah. Magnolia Homes. It's beautiful.
Bakery.
Yes, it's beautiful, yeah. Just to see how he pushed her in all of that, yeah. And she was just willing to get outside her comfort zone and just see how God has blessed them.
Yeah, I want to encourage you, you know, that so often people are intimidated by people that are different than them. But when you bring different folks together, they bring another part out of you that you couldn't bring out of yourself. It's sort of like when God says, when we come together and unify, then we can do more together than apart.
That's
and
right.
All that was inside of her. And he's sort of like the bulldozer that brings it back.
Do it. Yeah, why not? Why not now?
Yeah, and if you don't know personalities, he's more of a choleric sanguine, and she's more of a melancholy choleric.
Yep.
And so you have those two personalities working together. You can find out more details on The Torch. We're going to make all their things available to you at VFNTV.com. Click on The Torch, and it's all going to be available to get to it. And they have a program on HDTV.
Fixer Upper.
Fixer Upper.
From Waco, Texas.
From Waco, Texas. And they're literally renovating the entire Waco, Texas.
Yes. You
know, Waco, Texas used to be known for some other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And but now they're changing the whole impression. People are actually going to Waco from all around the place.
Wow.
It's amazing. Listen, I want to pray with you. Maybe you're thinking in your marriage, you know, you're a little bit different, and see how different they are, but they're working together. They learn to focus on each other. Let them be who they were, is what they were. And all of a sudden, look what they did with their lives. I just want to pray for your marriage and just pray for your relationship and just ask God to bless you. Father God, I thank you for those that are watching right now. Lord, we just pray over their marriage and we pray a blessing over them, Lord God. They would begin to see the strengths in each other, Father God, and that they would learn to work together and unify, God. And I just pray for, you know, Chip and Joanne. We just bless their ministry and their work and what they're doing. They're such a light in America, actually, to a lot of folks. And we appreciate their honest testimony, Father God, of you. And we just pray, like, Lord God, that you would just end abortion in this land, that you would send revival in this land, that you would send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.